Update, brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300. Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Fast am I. Good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update for Tuesday, 14th of March, 2023 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the Isle of Man. A background to that news and sport and business and Sea Watch and travel updates and the newsmakers in person. Tonight, the LegCo election result. Logan Eyre says sorry for the disruption. Treasury's watching the price of electricity. Kate Lord Brennan on 200 settlements in 5 years at nearly £10 million. And you thought Douglas Promenade was finished? Oh, and the mountain road's open.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Chanel Suku.
Fastamai, the mountain road is now open. However, motorists are reminded to drive to the conditions. Thalty Wool, Benny Pot and West Baldwin roads all remain closed. Their status will be reviewed tomorrow. A Douglas man who turned up at a residential home drunk 5 days after being sentenced for leaving residence at the facility frightened and fearful has been resentenced. And an election has taken place to fill 4 vacant seats in the Legislative Council, with Dawn Kinnish a new face amongst the chamber. In international news, 20 cough and cold medicines are being withdrawn from pharmacies immediately. There's concerns about the small chance of an allergic reaction to Falcodine. It affects day and night nurse and several own brand tablets and syrups. And one of the stars of The Woman King says it's so exciting to see the film reaching a new audience on Netflix. The drama is about an all-female unit of warriors who protected an African kingdom in the 1800s. Those were your headlines. News at 6.
Man Benham. Contact us by phone, video call, email or face-to-face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Karamaya, thank you. Chanel from the Ronalds Way Met Office. State of sea is slight or moderate. And the weather tonight, dry and clear with a light breeze. Overnight minimums 2 degrees, so watch out for some ice. Everything will be wet through and cold tonight. For Wednesday, Ukraine, a frosty start, then sunny intervals on a fresh southeasterly bringing persistent rain. Top temperature tomorrow afternoon is 9 degrees and a wet night in prospect, down to just 8 through the night. For Thursday, Jordan, clearing rain, then dry and cloudy on a fresh to strong southwesterly. Daylight maximums 12 degrees. Sunsets at 20 past 6 this evening, low water 6 minutes past 10, high tide 3 minutes past 4 a.m., sunrise at 26 minutes before 7, low water is at 25 to 11 tomorrow morning. It's Mothering Sunday this Sunday and the clocks go forward a week on Sunday.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and see a range of products from windows to doors, mirrors to splashbacks. Manxglass.com.
There's been more disruption at the airport today, with Logan Eyre apologising to customers for any impact on their travel plans after the Isle of Man to London City service yesterday, which had to be diverted after an operational issue. It follows a weekend of issues, which political member for the airport, Tim Glover, MHK, told us more about.
We're having the instrument landing system replaced. It's a multi-million pound operational requirement to have the airport be in compliance with current regulations. The best months to do it are November and March, because believe it or not, that's when we get the least amount of low visibility. I know some people have said, why aren't we doing it in the summer? Well, we want to avoid the main tourist season, but also the summer is when you get more mist and fog at the airport, believe it or not. You get those mornings where, you know, it's a real pea super down there and nothing can come in or out. But conditions conspired against that operation. And my first thoughts are obviously with everyone who got held up and didn't get home, got severely disadvantaged by them. And I've got a enormous sympathy for them, but this is work that has to be done. I was aware of it because my brother and sister-in-law were trying to come back from Manchester. They didn't get back. Obviously, then I was looking at the website when I noticed a couple of planes being diverted. I got in touch with Gary Cobb, the airport director, to find out what was going on and had this explained to me. So first thoughts are obviously with everybody that got caught up in this, and very sorry that that happened to them. But this is an operational matter for the airport. And incidentally, the other end of the runway was done late last year and nobody noticed that being done. I came in to and said when I was campaigning to get elected, we'll put our hands up when things are wrong. I don't think this has been communicated particularly well. I've said it on record on a number of matters that government deals with. It isn't the best at communicating and it really does need to improve on that. So yes, I will hold my hands up on that.
New face Dawn Kinnish and returning favourites Diane Kelsey, Tanya August Hansen and Paul Crane emerged victorious from this morning's LegCo election. LegCo members are voted in by members of the House of Keys rather than the public, something Manx Radio's political correspondent Phil Gorn says probably won't be reformed anytime soon.
To be honest, I was quite shocked at how disinterested the candidates appear to be in any discussion relating to electoral reform, general reform of how LegCo works. I mean, rightly, they say that this is primarily the role for the House of Keys, but if you can remember that far back when the likes of David Collister stood for LegCo, the late and great David Collister, he stood very firmly on the ticket that he, if elected, he was going to do what he could to reform the whole of Legislative Council. So there have been very clear views from former LegCo members in the past about this, but there doesn't seem to be much interest at all from the candidates, and you would hope that if the candidates have been talking to MHKs, they are reflecting to a certain extent the view amongst the Keys members.
Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates.
If you thought the Douglas Promenade refurbishment was finished, well, you have to think again. There are many, many defects which the infrastructure department needs to talk about with the contractors all in. Apparently, 900 in total have been noted. Some of those still needing work were listed in Keys Questions today by Tim Crookall, MHK, a former infrastructure minister himself, to the present holder of that post, Chris Thomas, MHK.
There were two of the crossings where there's been subsidence or trip hazards on those, and they've been there for weeks now, and one of them is certainly outside of Sefton, is not good. It's quite deep. There are inspection chambers that are sinking and rattling in front of hotels and all sorts. I'd be very surprised if they haven't had complaints about those. And there's also outside the one of the hotels, the Empress, as you go across the tactile paving onto the promenade, you step straight off the curb out the promenade, and anybody with a visual impairment has got a 4-inch drop there, and that was promised to be sorted and it has never been sorted. And finally, at the far end of the promenade, I think anywhere after TT Promenade T-shirts, there are no further crossings along there. And that's a huge expanse of area, and people are just expected to cross between the traffic.
Over 900 defects were notified through the contractual process. And of these, there are many defects that remain outstanding and require financial assessment to facilitate their acceptance under the contract. So I acknowledge those defects. In terms of that list, and this is not definitive, obviously, because of the place in which I'm giving this answer, but I don't believe the further crossings down the far end of the promenade are defects, but I think most of the others sound to me like they will be defects. The promenade, a major point of discussion has been the concrete, the red concrete, which again is being treated as a defect under the construction contract and or the professional services contract. So in summary, discussions are ongoing with the expectation of reaching agreement. If agreement cannot be reached, then the department or the parties may initiate the arbitration procedures, etc.
Questions were asked of the Treasury Minister in the House of Keys today about how government's assessing the economic impact of the impending electricity tariff increase from the start of next month. Dr. Allenson, MHK, insists his department is keeping an eye on the situation regularly.
This assessment looked at potential cost impacts for different property types, taking into account the island's specific energy mix. Treasury will continue to monitor inflationary developments and the impact on the wider economy. An update on the island's economic situation is a standing agenda item at the Treasury Board's weekly meetings. Information used for this update is also available on the gov.im website for the public to access.
Thank you, Mr. Ashford.
Can I ask the Treasury Minister, while statistics is all well and good, what actual physical impact has been assessed? So, for instance, one of the things we know around consumer household expenditure, Mr. Speaker, is when people feel that they are under pressure, they will actually cut back on their consumer spending, which then has a wider impact on the economy. And when it comes to consumer spending, perception can sometimes be more important than reality. Has any of that impact tried to be attempted to be assessed?
The Honourable Member is quite right that consumer confidence and business confidence are extremely important. Treasury and the Department for Enterprise met with the Chamber of Commerce yesterday, and they've undertaken a survey of their members looking at their confidence levels and their opinion of what will happen ahead. And we're very grateful for that. The feelings of the business community, they're not particularly optimistic. They are looking at their profit margins and can't see those growing. However, this is a perception and an opinion, and what we need to do as Treasury, in combination with our colleagues at the Department for Enterprise, is through regular discourse with the business industry and with consumers on the Isle of Man, assess where the pressure points are to re-emphasise the support that's already available.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The motor ship Ben McCree departed Heysham at 2:07. She's just about to enter the harbour in Douglas. We'll be on the link span in the next 10-15 minutes or so. Departing this evening at 7:45 for Heysham, arriving there at 11:30. The overnight departure 2:15, back to Douglas tomorrow morning at 6. And the morning departure 8:45, Ben McCree heads for Heysham.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
Faster by, good evening. It's 18 minutes before 6, live from Douglas in the Isle of Man on Manx Radio. This is Update, and young Manxman Cameron Hawes is already making a name for himself in the evolving world of electric car racing. And this year, as his career continues to grow, he'll be able to proudly show the world where his journey began. Cameron says he's racing under the Manx flag in 2023 with a 24-hour endurance competition in his sights in a couple of months' time.
There are a lot of endurance races around now. This is really the lower level, so this is just Citroen C1s going around Silverstone for 24 hours, and they're pretty much standard. But it could open a lot of different things in the UK. It could open a lot in the European side as well. So it's going to be quite interesting to see who's actually racing. It would be great to see people from where I'm from do what I do. It's always humbling to see young people base their careers off someone. If one day I were able to get that, I'd be so proud of myself. It's a hard world to get into. It's a lot of hard work. So for anyone that actually wants to get into motorsport, I recommend you read up a little bit before you get started and choose the right paths. And yeah, it's never been more difficult than nowadays to actually get into motorsport, because you have so many disciplines. You have sim racing, you have karting, you have electric karting, and all can lead to different places and all cost different costs. So it's really difficult to get into racing nowadays, but I think people should look into it, and I think they should have a go, because it is good fun. So for 2023, I'm going to be working with the ERA Championship, helping them out with administrative work and also on the technical side with the cars. I'm going to be helping them out during the year, so it's going to be great to work with them. And on a personal side, I'd love to see the whole championship evolve and maybe get some more cars involved, and also go to some more electric races and just promote what is going to be the future of racing.
This is the most listened to Isle of Man news source, and Manx Radio's Update is the Isle of Man's most downloaded news podcast.
Faster Mike, good evening.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
16 minutes before 6, Virgin Wines posted a slump in interim profits today as revenue fell, and the company announced a full business review as it pointed to a challenging backdrop. In the 6 months to the end of December last year, pre-tax profit tumbled to £100,000 from £3.2 million the year before, revenues down to £33.6 million from £40.6 million. And for a full daily market report, go to RamseyCrookall.com. Ramsey.com. And I'm not sparing the blushes of our kind sponsor. The Isle of Man's Ramsey Crookhall picked up a City of London Wealth Management Award for Regional Wealth Manager of the Year for Northern England for the fifth year in a row. The City of London Wealth Management Award recognises, promotes and celebrates the quality of service from wealth management companies and individuals. Winners of the company awards are determined by an online public vote, which took place between the 2nd of February and the 15th of February. The process is overseen by an independent panel of judges. Ramsey Crookhall is independently owned and doesn't have ties to fund managers, banks or third parties.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookhall.
UK and European stock markets climbed as traders digested the aftershocks from the SVB collapse. US stocks rallied. Oil fell about 1% to a five-week low and gold priced lower. The numbers from Ramsey Crookhall at the close in London. The FTSE 100 up just over 0.1% at 7,637. The DAX in Frankfurt up 0.8% at 15,232. Short time ago in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial up just over 0.1% at 32,179. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index up just over 2.25% at 11,443. And the S&P 500 in Chicago up just over 1.75% at 3,924. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling currently trading at $1 21.6 cents, €1 13.3 cents, and 22 South African rand 6.4 cents. In commodities, gold's down 0.2% at $1,908 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude down just over 2% at $78.92.
The world was a very different place when Ramsey Crookhall set up business back in 1946. But his passion for providing outstanding service and looking after every client as if they were one of the family has endured for over 76 years. So, if you're looking for the continuity of a personal, bespoke investment strategy, perhaps it's time to look at our discretionary services. Trustworthy, dependable, and tailored. Ramsey Crookhall, the island's investment specialist. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookhall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wint.
Faster Mai, more than 200 settlement agreements for staff leaving the Manx government have been concluded in the past 5 years, since 2017, at a cost of almost £10 million. In the current financial year, 27 settlement agreements have already been struck, which has cost about £2 million. Chair of the Public Services Commission is the Cabinet Office Minister, Kate Lord-Brennan. An MHK.
Use of settlement agreements should not be a substitute for or replace performance management or proper OHR, Office of Human Resources, process. So that's what there is now a greater attention on in government, and the Public Services Commission will be seeking to make sure that accounting officers and government departments and the Office of Human Resources have a clear frame of reference, so that they don't become in use ordinarily. They should be used in exceptional circumstances or in cases where there is a definite benefit to using them, either for other reasons or because there is an efficiency for government in the long term. In some ways, it's quite helpful to have some of this information come out. But as I say, we've already been looking at some of the matters around this. These figures go back to 2017, so certainly precedes my time. But I think that anybody who was looking at such figures of around, on average, £2 million a year would certainly want to seek improvement. So, that's where I am with this. There will be better and clearer accountability and management and performance management. So that's already started to be put in place. The Public Services Commission has been working on a policy around settlement agreements. I think that is needed, as a guidance for those using those settlement agreements to look to what should precede those. And then there's already the point about having the Operational Performance Board, which should have a central oversight of some of the management happenings within government departments, which I think will all help. I wouldn't intend to go into individual settlement agreements, but there can be a whole range of reasons why an employee may need to exit the organisation. So each of these circumstances is taken on an individual basis, and there could be a whole manner of reasons that come into that.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fast-a-mai, Rob Pritchard.
Fast-a-mai, good evening. Starting with motorsport, and tributes are being paid following the death of former TT rider Hilary Musson. Musson was the second ever female to compete in the races on the Snaefell Mountain course in 1978, after Beryl Swain, who was the first in 1962. The Isle of Man TT Races has described Hilary as one of the pioneering females in the history of the event and are saddened to hear of her recent passing. Hilary's racing career began in 1969 and she went on to compete in eight consecutive TTs from 1978 to 1985. She made her debut at the Manx Grand Prix in 1989 and also went on to race in the Southern 100 road races during the 1990s, with her last race taking place in 1993. Moving on, and in cycling, Mark Cavendish returns to action tomorrow, hoping to defend his crown in the Milano-Torino race in Italy. The Manx Missile won the event last year for his former team, Quickstep Alpha Vinyl, in a time of 4 hours, 31 minutes and 22 seconds. In doing so, he became the first ever British rider to take victory in the historic event over its 103 editions up until that point. The one-day Milano-Torino contest is considered the oldest race in the world, having first been held in 1876. This year, Cavendish and his Astana Kazakhstan squad will compete against 16 other teams to navigate a largely flat 192-kilometre route starting at Roe and finishing in Orbassano. The race is due to get underway on Wednesday at approximately 11:45am local time. And in athletics, there were mixed fortunes for the four Manx competitors representing Lancashire during the Intercounties Cross Country Championships near Loughborough at the weekend. There were challenging days in tricky conditions for Sam Perry and Harry Stennett in the under-17 men's and under-13 boys races respectively, whilst Lucas Stennett was forced to retire from the under-17s competition. Elsewhere, Becky Watterson made her Lancashire debut in the senior women's race. She put in a spirited performance for her first outing, finishing 140th place in a field of 263.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
The inbound 525 Loganair from Manchester at Ronald's Way has been cancelled. Next after that, the 730 EasyJet from Manchester, 730 EasyJet from London Gatwick, 528 Loganair from Liverpool, returning patient transfer plane. And then it's the 5 past 8 Loganair from London City, which is delayed until 9:20 tonight. Outbound, it's 6 o'clock Loganair to Liverpool, 8 EasyJet back to Manchester, and the 8 EasyJet to London Gatwick. In Kirkmichael, south of the village, there are temporary 24-hour lights on the TT course for a substation replacement. Castle Street, one-way northbound in Castletown, temporary closures around East Quay and the Prom in Peel, and between Peel and St John's. Still got those temporary lights 24 hours a day on the main road for work on the pavement. Cannells Lane closed between Parliament Street and Water Street in Ramsey, and temporary lights on Marketplace for that pedestrian crossing. In Sandygate, temporary lights on the Jerby Road for water mains, and temporary lights 24 hours on the TT course at Glen Helen while they're tree felling. The Ronagh Road's closed for resurfacing. The Ballymenock Road has phased closures for water main replacement. Temporary closures on the Regaby West Road. The junction of Pullrose Road and Alder Road by the church, there's closed for work on a pedestrian crossing. Temporary 24-hour lights on Glen Crutchery Road, Douglas at 3rd Avenue. And the Victoria Road's closed between Broadway and Marathon Road. Narrow lanes on Victoria Street. Remember, it's closed from Sunday in Douglas. 24-hour lights on Annika Lane near the Heron, and temporary 24-hour lights on the main road near Griever Castle for resurfacing, and temporary lights on the main road in Ballabeg near Arbury Parish Hall. They're putting in a new zebra crossing.
H&H Motorcycles.im for all your motorcycle requirements. South Gear Industrial Estate, opposite Quayside Tyres. Call 665646.
With rising energy costs on the island, some businesses are thinking about what they can do to save cash. Keith Lord's the owner of the Manon Hotel on Broadway in Douglas. They've installed several energy-saving devices recently.
All the rooms are air-conditioned. Each floor has what they call a smart box on. So when there's heat on the south side of the building and it's cooler on the north side, the smart box actually transfers that heat to the north side rather than sending it up to the condensers to be locked to the atmosphere. It's a very clever system. Most of the newer Shortels have it installed. The lights, if people haven't got the card and the reader, won't come on. All the lighting in this place is LED, so it's very low energy. We have a heat recovery system too. The atmosphere in the public areas, the air is being changed around about 40 times per hour, introducing new air in, but the exhausted air, it goes through an heat exchanger, which recovers the heat and it's reused, so it's not a total waste. We've looked at solar, but there really isn't a worthwhile capacity of roof space on our roof to make any significant difference. We could only recover about 4 kilowatts, and it'd probably mean an investment of 20,000 or 30,000. I mean, wherever you go, even on industrial buildings now on mainland, they're good areas to put solar panels on and get some value back. Energy is probably 25-30% of our overhead.
Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300.
A Douglas man who turned up at a residential home drunk 5 days after being sentenced for leaving residents at the facility frightened and fearful has been resentenced. Tessa Hawley was at Douglas Courthouse.
Richard Allen Cooley of Timwald Road was found in a resident's bedroom at Riotna Bay on the 26th of February, despite the area being out of bounds. Staff tried to get the 62-year-old to move into the common area, but Cooley became increasingly agitated and began swearing at them. They could smell alcohol and called the police. When officers arrived at the facility on Albert Terrace, staff described the friend he'd been visiting as being of some vulnerability, adding they believed she was distressed by the incident. At Douglas Courthouse, Cooley had admitted a charge of provoking behaviour. The prosecutor told the court Cooley had been sentenced for committing the same offence in the same location in more or less the same circumstances just days earlier. A probation officer told the court Cooley had a long history of alcohol issues and there were significant concerns for his welfare. She said the woman was a companion who'd lived with Cooley before going into care and added this man does need support. He does need ongoing help. Representing himself, Cooley told magistrates, "I don't mean to harm anyone." Asked how he could reassure the court an incident like this wouldn't happen again, Cooley responded, "I can't, can I?" Revoking the probation order imposed for the first offence, magistrates imposed a new 2-year order, telling Cooley, "Nobody is trying to stop you from visiting her, but it's got to be done in the right circumstances."
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's News Department. Thanks to newsreader Chanel Suku, producer Rhiann Evans, Countryside with Simon and Kiri after the news at 6. Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley, The Folk Show with John Barker and Dave Moore on The Late Show tonight.
WINT.